Tentor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Real Lincoln, a new look at Abraham Lincoln, his agenda, and an unnecessary war, by Thomas J. DiLorenzo, narrated by Charles Constant. Chapter 1. Introduction. Anyone who embarks on a study of Abraham Lincoln must first come to terms with the Lincoln myth. The effort to penetrate the crust of legend that surrounds Lincoln is both a formidable and intimidating task. Lincoln, it seems, requires special considerations that are denied to other figures. Robert W. Johansen, Lincoln, the South, and Slavery. More words have probably been written about Abraham Lincoln than about any other American political figure. According to one source, more than 16,000 books have been written on virtually every aspect of Lincoln's private and public life. But much of what has been written about Lincoln is myth. As Pulitzer Prize-winning Lincoln biographer David Donald noted in his 1961 book, Lincoln Reconsidered, Donald attempted to set at least part of the record straight. But if anything, the literature on Lincoln has become even more dubious in the succeeding decades. Anyone who delves into this literature with an open mind and an interest in the truth cannot help but be struck by the fantastic lengths to which an entire industry of Lincoln scholars has gone to perpetrate countless myths and questionable interpretations of events. Many of these myths will be examined in this book. In the eyes of many Americans, Lincoln remains the most important American political figure in history because the war between the states so fundamentally transformed the nature of American government. Before the war, government in America was the highly decentralized, limited government established by the Founding Fathers. The war created the highly centralized state that Americans labor under today. The purpose of American government was transformed from the defense of individual liberty to the quest for empire. As historian Richard Bensel has observed, any study of the origins of the American state should begin no earlier than 1865. This aspect of the war between the states has always been downplayed or even ignored because of the emphasis that has been given to the important issue of slavery. Lincoln will forever be known as the great emancipator. But to understand the real Lincoln, one must realize that during his 28 years in politics before becoming president, he was almost single-mindedly devoted to an economic agenda that Henry Clay labeled the American system. From the very first day in 1832, when he announced that he was running for the state legislature in Illinois, Lincoln expressed his devotion to the cause of protectionist tariffs, taxpayer subsidies for railroads and other corporations, internal improvements, and the nationalization of the money supply to help pay for the subsidies. Lincoln labored mightily in the political trenches of the Whig and Republican parties for nearly three decades on behalf of this economic agenda, but with only minor success. The Constitution stood in the way of the Whig agenda as one American president after another vetoed internal improvement and national bank bills. Beginning with Jefferson, Madison, and Monroe, Southern statesmen were always in the forefront of the opposition to this economic agenda. According to Lincoln scholar Mark Neely, Jr., Lincoln seethed in frustration for many years over how the Constitution stood in the way of his political ambitions. Lincoln thought of himself as the heir to the Hamiltonian political tradition, which sought a much more centralized governmental system, one that would plan economic development with corporate subsidies financed by protectionist tariffs and the printing of money by the central government. This agenda achieved little political success during the first 70 years of the nation's existence, but was fully implemented during the first 2 years of the Lincoln administration. It was Lincoln's real agenda. Roy Basler, the editor of Lincoln's collected works, has written that Lincoln barely ever mentioned the issue of slavery before 1854, and even then, he did not seem sincere. Chapter 2 explores the doubts that many others have also expressed about Lincoln's supposed commitment to racial equality. The average American who has not spent much time reading Lincoln's speeches but who has learned about him through the filter of the Lincoln scholars will be surprised or even shocked by some of his words and actions.